Gentlemen, right now, even if we received an invitation from the spacemen, we can't meet them unless they come. And it's only a dream yet for everybody.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott, and with me is my brain-sucking alien sister, Joe.
What? Okay, first of all,
do we know the name of the alien race in this movie? I don't even know.
Brain-sucker.
Brain-suckers.
Okay, so it's Gamera versus Giron.
Why are you saying that? You know what we're doing today?
Talking trash.
You know, it's my favorite day of the week. It's my favorite day of the week.
Talking trash.
It's the day we talk trash.
Yeah.
This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is.
Very good. You did that in one breath. Gamera. Gamera. How's the song go? He has his own
We'll get to it. Let me read the opening and then we can get to it as much as you want.
Makes me want to boogie.
It's Kaiju Month, guys, aka movies with big-ass monsters. Tonight we are watching the fourth and final movie of the month. It's a movie with a poster search bar translation that states that this movie will have underwater combat on the spot, aerial combat at the end of the universe, giant duo on the planet of burning.
What?
Shy jars, vampire, and squeezing. And other complete nonsense like, go to the galaxy and get an underwater job. The technique of sealing the solid time travel missile is offensive. And my absolute favorite one, Gamera, who has become a Kep, goes to help. Jigar must duty sucker empty China throw a pinch of Gino Gamera absolutely.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're talking about right now. And if you could please tell me what any of that means. I'm sitting here looking at you like, wait.
I said it.
What are you saying to me?
I said these are all... Do you want me to read all these over again?
Wait, those are the things on the poster?
I put in to Google Translator, well, to Translator, it's a search bar translator, what are these posters all saying for their taglines?
That's the real life translation.
This is what every single poster I could find would come up with these things.
Okay, well, that's incoherent drivel.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't even know what that even means. But, okay.
We are talking about 1969's Gamera versus
Giron.
Giron. I always want to say Giron, but Giron, aka Attack of the Monsters, or as Italy knows it, as King Kong contra Godzilla.
What?
I'm not kidding. Go look it up. What? There's actually posters. Jeez. Check it out.
Oh my God.
It has a 4.3 on IMDb from 3,200 reviewers. It's directed by Noriaki Uasa.
Uasa. Okay. Now, what other kaiju movies has
The other Gamera film.
Oh, the other one. Okay.
Yeah. The one before this one.
Okay. Well,
I think the one after this. I'm not sure. It's one of those two.
Okay.
We did three movies back-to-back on Ishiro Honda.
Yeah.
The last movies. So we changed up and went for Gamera, the first Gamera movie we've done on this podcast. And I just thought this was really funny, but this is what this director had to say about Ishiro Honda, which is pretty much a legend of kaiju films.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Mr. Honda was too modest. Directors are supposed to be egotistical and criticize their peers' work. Mr. Honda was a prisoner of war in China for a number of years. That experience may have had a lasting effect on him. That's pretty fucking weird. That's a pretty strange quote. Okay. I had to read it because we came off of three movies of his, and he's pretty much like a legend, although we pretty much didn't enjoy the last three films we saw.
Well, the last one was not a kaiju film. You threw me for a loop and upset me with the submarine. There is a kaiju
in it.
For like it 3 seconds.
It doesn't matter.
Never comes back. But, you know, I will say that that quote from that director about Ishiro Honda is pretty messed up. I mean, why do you think that directors are supposed to be like egotistical egomaniacs? Like, why is that?
It's a strange quote.
Stupid.
I thought that was really, really strange. And I, you know, it's funny because what we learned about Ishiro Honda was that he was, you know, he, even if he didn't want to direct those films that he was doing, he stuck with the company that he worked for and did those movies because, you know, he had a sense of pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them, and also, you know, a lasting relationship with the company, even if they didn't treat him well enough.
True.
You know, he stuck by them, even when he thought he should do better, he should have.
That's pretty noble, and also the fact that he was a freaking prisoner of war. I mean, that might have something to do with his state of mind and mentality. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's a fucked up thing to say.
It made me think. I only reason I wanted to read it was because I thought it would get us in the mindset of this director.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take much to get into the mindset of this director. I mean, he was clearly on acid.
I got a lot of quotes from him. The budget for this movie is 25 million yen, which today is about 96 million yen, which in American money is roughly around 664,000.
Yeah, most of that just went to the set pieces and the costumes, the suits.
I hope some people got paid.
I mean, well,
yeah.
Like these, okay, we got to get into this movie because well, so much to say about
Let me get one more fun fact in, and then you can go off.
Okay, I'm going to go off.
This movie wasn't shown in theaters in America. It came out in, you know, theaters in Japan. It only released on TV by American International Pictures, which we have become accustomed to now, learning about them.
Yes.
It is the fifth Gamera film.
Okay.
Seven more followed, as well as a 6-episode animated show, a documentary and short film, as well as comics, video games, and November 27th is known as Gamera Day in Japan.
I like it.
Yes.
I'm going to bake a cake this year.
You should, as honor. You should.
And it's going to be in the shape of Gamera.
As you should.
Put it on my calendar. No shit. I'm going to bake a cake.
And I will sing the Gamera March, which is the song in this movie that you very much loved.
I love that song.
I have the lyrics ready to go, Joe.
Awesome.
The translated lyrics.
Oh my goodness. I can't wait.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. Give me a little.
Hit Gamera. Gamera. Gamera is cool. Gamera is cool. Gamera is cool. Sun, moon, fire, water. Demonic rainbow blocks sunlight. Come and get it. Ice kaiju. It jumped.
These are the song lyrics? Did you have a brain fart just now? Where did you go?
I think I did because...
Where did you go?
I have...
I lost. Okay. I'm going to take over the show because Scott.
I'm just saying that these lyrics are insane. They're just insane. Killer sonic wave rips moonlight. Come and get it at any time. Mock flying kaiju. It glowed. It dodged. Go, go, go. Bite and don't let it go. Blow it away. Go for it, Gamera. Go for it, Gamera. Gamera is strong. Fire, water, wood, gold. Either Mars or Venus from a planet somewhere. Come and get it. Whoever space kaiju. Flying, spinning, and ram into it. Gamera is strong.
Oh my god. I like the Japanese language translation better than that. It sounds much better. It sounds nicer and prettier than whatever that biz.
Oh my God.
Was it Edith Red?
These lyrics?
I feel as though everyone in this movie was definitely on copious amounts of drugs. They had to be. Especially those poor guys in the suits. I'm like.
I don't think anybody on the set was on drugs. Who I think might have been on drugs was the people dubbing it.
Oh my God. Okay. Can I just start by saying that this is the worst, and I mean the worst, voiceover acting overdubbed I have ever heard in my life, period. And I have seen hundreds of kaiju movies.
Yeah.
Japanese movies, Asian movies in general. This is the worst voiceovers I've ever seen.
It's not the worst. We saw an animated film that someone did, and it's like a running joke about this animated film. We once watched it with our friends at night, and everybody was just upset because the overdubbing for it is so atrocious. That I think that's the worst we've ever seen.
Mm-mm, it can't be. In this movie, there's literally, it's the voiceover actors pause for no reason in between their, like, when they're in the middle of a sentence, they pause as though they're trying to put punctuation in there, but they're not.
No, that's hard to say. You have that ready? There's no air or water on the moon, so no living thing inhabits it. As you know for sure.
They're clearly reading the script for the first. There's no doubt in my mind.
Absolutely bonkers.
It's like me reading the lyrics to that song. How do I read this without laughing? You know, that's exactly what was going on with these people. They had to be. They were just reading it for the first time going, oh.
I'm curious about so many things in this movie. One of the things I'm curious about is that there is an American boy.
Okay.
And he is overdubbed as well. Everyone's overdubbed. Now, what the voiceover actor is saying, his lips don't match up to those words.
Oh, they don't even try.
What exactly is going on in the set? Is he in a completely different film? Because this kid is saying words that are not being spoken by the overdub, voiceover person.
Yeah, there's no way in hell that they had anybody close to doing the dub. I don't think they used a real kid's voice, is what you're suggesting?
No, because the actors that were playing the voiceovers of the children were clearly in their like 60s, and one of them was a woman, and it was an older woman doing a little boy's voice. And I'm like, what is this? What is going on? None of these people could there's no like enunciation. They didn't even try. It was almost as though the words were just being scattered on like all over a page in no particular order. And they just picked them out at random and just said them, because the lines that come out of these people's mouths, it's baffling. It's baffling.
I just found the movie that I was talking about, and I would have to put in a clip here of Savior of the Earth from 1983. I had that as the worst overdubbing movie I'd ever seen.
I don't remember that one.
So I'd have to put a clip from that and a clip of this next to each other, and then you can judge.
Go out and bring another prisoner in here. Have the game reset so we can start again.
You are the next prisoner to be played again.
I beg you, Controller, please let me live.
Go.
I don't want to die. Don't make me do this. I don't mind being a slave. Just don't let me die, please.
Ah! Yeah. Hey, you lousy bucket of bolts. Why don't you pick on someone your own size?
You stupid alien, you will die.
Come on, I'm not afraid of you.
Stupid human, you may be brave, but you're not as tough as us. You fool, take him to the space game now. Yes.
It's my turn next, man. I don't want to die.
Commander, what should we do? Send out Black John in his race car and see how fast he really is.
Brother! Brother!
What is it? We were right. It's a spaceship.
Right, let's go.
It's groovy.
I wonder if there are spacemen on it.
Maybe they're inside.
Akio, let's go inside.
Don't go inside. Aren't you scared of the spacemen?
You fool. The spacemen are well civilized, and they won't make such a trouble. Don't be so dumb. Excuse me?
Hello?
Don't think that they understand our language. Don't be so dumb.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm baffled, but I don't even know how to talk about this movie.
Well, okay, let's just start by saying that there's three children involved in this movie. They're the stars of the movie.
We do start with some real mumbo jumbo science stuff that I made a joke to you. Pay attention, because there's gonna be a test later on.
It was so weird.
That guy's reading.
Okay, yeah, everybody's reading. Everyone who's reading lines in this movie sucks. Okay, just straight up sucks. They're terrible.
He's reading. Everything he says is like a question. Although he's the scientist telling reporters what's happening.
Yeah. I can't even tell you what was the reasoning of that opening dialogue, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
It does, in a sense that they have received some kind of waves, that there is some kind of, I guess they're getting information that there are other life forms. And they know that it's out there. But the joke is, like, it's too far away for us to even find out.
Okay, now can I ask you a question? Now, you're saying that Gamera has been around, okay? We know this because we saw the Gamera movie where he was, like, the savior of kids.
Oh, well, that's actually in this movie as well. We actually see an entire montage.
Right. Well, we saw that, so we know about it. But they also know about it. So, of course, there's other life forms. Why are they even...
Okay, that's a great question. I was actually going to bring this up to you while we were watching it. I was going to say to you, why does everybody act like there's no such thing as spaceships when they have a flying turtle monster that flies the earth around the earth all the time?
I mean, they already know of Gamera's existence.
That's what I'm saying.
So why do we need all this scientific crap?
And they've been attacked by other kaiju from other planets.
Yes, so they know that there are monsters out there.
Exactly.
So why do we need a scientist of any sort? Like, this is the problem here. And I think they try to get away from it really quick, because they put in these children are, they're not the worst, but they're quite annoying. I'm not going to lie.
Well, only annoying because of the dubbing.
I think so, too.
We can only judge off the dubbing.
Here's the thing. Okay, put the dubbing aside, okay? They find a spaceship. They find a spaceship, these kids.
They see a spaceship on our telescope in the middle of the night.
Yes, and they know exactly where it landed, right? So they go and find it.
It landed exactly where they usually play.
Of course it did.
I like that information.
Of course it did. It's a perfect hole with little man-made stairs, yes, and everything. So it's like a little crater. It landed perfectly in there. Now, these two little boys, Akio and Tom. which one is the American boy?
I know. Tom. It's actually Akio. No, it's Tom. Yeah. I love Akio, by the way. I could not stop thinking of Harry Potter every single time his name was said.
Akio Armando. Yeah,
exactly.
No, isn't it Braccio Armando?
Yeah, but no, it's Akio is bring toward.
Oh.
Right? Don't they say Akio Key or something like that?
Oh, I don't remember. But I got to say, these two little kids are like, they're, you know, kids annoy me in movies a lot of the time. But these two are the fucking worst, okay? I have to say.
Why are they the worst? Only
okay,
because
I'll tell you why.
This movie is... This movie's playing... I will say this. This movie is a kid's movie through and through. There is no... Kids are awesome. Kids have fun. That's all this movie... They don't want to do that thing where they overthink it. These kids are just having an adventure.
Yes. Okay.
That's
okay.
it.
Okay. Granted. I get it. All right. I get it. But at least have some realism. I mean, it felt like we were on Sesame Street, especially with the freaking music.
You just watch a Flying Turtle movie and you're like, I need a little logic in my Flying Turtle movie. Just a little
bit. Well, I mean, okay. Here's the thing. Like, try a little acting. All right. So they see this spaceship and they have a little girl with them. Makoto, I think her name is. She's cute. She looks like the doll that does red light, green light, and Squid Game. Like, she... it's hard to... She's adorable, but she also looks like she's maybe 6 years old going on 40. It's crazy.
I don't see that, but you keep mentioning
it. She does. She looks older. She looks old, like really old. And I'm not saying 40's old. I'm not saying that.
Meteors! Watch out, it'll hit us! It'll hit us! Akio, change course! Can't change course. You'll get hit. Look, it's Gamera. That's good, Gamera. Help us, Gamera. Gamera. That's good. That's good.
Groovy.
Gamera, thank you.
So they find, the three of them find this spaceship. Now, it's amazing. It's like the spaceship is like Ed Wood, kind of like, you know, had a budget, except he didn't use paper plates.
Yes.
It's a cute little spaceship.
They're definitely using anything left over from the previous movies.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But you know what really bothers me about these kids, and that's what I was trying to say before, is the fact that they... are like, oh, it's a spaceship. Let's go inside. Like, wee. They go inside, right? They get inside this thing. And it starts to take off. And they're not even screaming or running for their lives.
No, they're having
freaking
a good old time.
Out. They're just like, wee. Now, mind you, there is no, like, alien life form on this ship. It's completely empty. So, obviously, someone is, like, you know... piloting this thing,
yes,
like radio control or whatever, and taking them off planet, and they're just not even scared at all, okay? Like, at all. So there's some turbulence. They get to this planet and they actually crash land on the planet, don't they?
Okay you're bearing a huge lead to this part, because when they're in space, they actually get caught up in an asteroid field.
Yeah,
and the asteroids are going to kill them. So they're like, oh, whoa, we gotta save ourselves, touch every single button. And they are driving. They're doing pretty damn good.
These kids, I can't.
But because kids are screaming, that only means here comes Gamera.
Mother! Mother!
My, such a loud voice. Where were you without my permission?
Mother, it's about a big trouble.
Did Akio tease you again?
No, Akio and Tom went in a... spaceship, Mother.
Don't tell me such a silly story, like Akio and Tom.
It's true. We found a spaceship near the river, and they went inside. It lit up suddenly, and...
I see. Akio's up to something again.
Please, tell me something. Don't you believe in spaceships and spacemen, you know?
No, I don't.
But the paper said a lot of people saw flying saucers. Don't you know it?
They're all made up stories.
But, Mother!
Stop it. Study, or you cannot enter a good school.
I am in trouble. How can I make Mother understand? Poor boys. I wonder where they are now.
Well, yeah, because he can hear them, and
Gamera
he's the
knows.
Protector of children.
Yeah, all children, apparently. And Gamera flies in space. I guess we should talk about Gamera flying in space. And right. I guess we should anybody who doesn't know, Gamera, when we say this, we're not kidding. He's a giant turtle.
So he has his back legs, you know, where they would normally be, are just like empty holes. His legs are not popping out of the back. But instead, he has blue light, like, repelling him through space, like, almost like a turbine or something. Like, you know, it's like propelling him through space. And I said to you, I'm like, first of all, where the hell are his legs? Okay, there's that.
Yes.
Secondly, how is there fire in space and smoke and stuff? Okay, fine. And also, wouldn't he burn up his whole back of his shell?
That's the thing. It's so, like, everything about Gamera, I'm like totally is hilarious. Overthinking this. It's just hilarious. And it is so cute.
It is.
It's just like a silly little turtle flying in space.
Why is he so cute? He's adorable. I love him.
His gigantic eyeballs, his mouth just is just wide, gaping. Like, his tongue is just jiggling out of his mouth.
And diggling.
I know, I said dangling out of his mouth. And he has these giant snaggle tooth, like, you know, teeth. And it's just so silly.
I mean,
that it is so quaint that you cannot stop smiling.
Anyone who's seen Gamera movies knows that he's one of the more adorable kaiju. And so just knowing that he's there to rescue these kids who are obviously stupid dinglings and they can't drive a pilot a spaceship. They have no idea what they're doing. They're not even frightened at all. But he, I guess, do they get clipped by the asteroid and then they start like...
Well, no, because Gamera protects them by flying in front of them to block the asteroids.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then they go, oh, let's land. And so I think what happens is the ship actually gets taken over by something. And I think it lands on the nearest planet.
Yeah.
And they've been flying around for a while. So I thought they were gone. Like, I was like, oh, they left our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what happened. They landed on this planet. And when they land, they touch down on this planet, we see these kids find out. Well, first off, they do crash. I guess you're right. Because
they crash.
They do crash because they're laying all over the place.
Well, you made mention of the fact that, so there was some turbulence and they did crash on the planet. But when we see them next time.
Why did Gamera allow this?
Gamera allowed them to crash. Like, what the fuck? You're supposed to be the protector of children? What happened there? But the two children are literally laying on the floor and the one kid has his arm right draped across the other kid's crotch.
Yes.
And I was like,
it looks very, I don't know why they did that.
Why that angle, first of all, it was weird. I was like, okay, creepy, whatever. But they get up. Okay, they get up and they're fine. They're fine. They actually, this is what I'm talking about stupid kids, okay? Not only do they get into a spaceship willy-nilly, don't even give a shit, right? But now they've crash landed on a planet and they're like, oh, the air is breathable. How do you know?
Yeah, the door is wide open. That's why, because the staircase came down.
We don't even need spacesuits.
We don't need spacesuits. We're good. Did you talk about how they're dressed?
Okay, can we? Okay, we have to talk about. Well, now the little American boy is dressed like he's going to a baseball game. Obviously, he's wearing some slacks. He's got a baseball jacket on and a baseball cap. Then the Japanese boy, Akio, he is wearing the most absurd outfit I have ever. I can't even imagine what would possess his mother to dress him like this. Now, I'll tell you, when I was young, my mother dressed me in the pukiest clothes
all
ever.
All of us, all kids.
Okay, I mean, the corduroys with the turtleneck and just the freaking awful.
Newer parents are, kids these days are very lucky. Parents that went through some styles. Our parents just slapped us in the cheapest, nastiest
shit. Oh, my God.
Gosh, and all that
crap. The freaking, the like, jumpers with the corduroy jumpers and God, I can't. But this kid, he's wearing, not only is he wearing ball hammock shorts, he's wearing knee socks that, I don't even understand the rhyme or reason to wearing these knee socks. He's wearing loafers, Okay, not sneakers or anything like that. He's wearing almost dress socks with loafers, short shorts, and a little jacket, but around the collar is all fur.
Yes.
I'm baffled by this child and what he's wearing. Just baffled.
Yeah.
And we know that there's a chill on this planet.
Yeah, that's actually a theme about what's going on the planet, which I also don't really understand.
Well, they get out and you can see their breath. I made mention of that to you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's wearing these tiny little shorts. There's no way they're not freezing to death. Like, what is going on?
Yes.
And then I was thinking to myself, now I know probably why the set was so cold. It's because the guys in the suits are probably dying in there.
Oh, that's actually really smart.
You know?
No, because they're not in the same set as those guys in the suits, because they're in another set. They're in a miniature version, the guys in the suits.
I mean, I feel like
using a rear projection.
Yeah, I mean, probably just they only had like a couple of sets, so they probably had to keep everything cold.
Well, there's also a theme about what's going on this planet that is cold. So that is a theme in the planet, which I don't really understand why that's a thing, but that does seem to be the concern of the alien race. But we'll get into that, because something even better happens. And by the way, I just searched it while we were talking. I had to look it up because Akio, the kid's name, mm-hmm. I was like, it is the spell in Harry Potter. And it does. It's J.K. Rowling's not, she wasn't the most creative with these things. So Akio actually means in Latin summon. So I was right. It is the summoning spell. But what's funny is I had to look it up. I was like, I wonder if it's the same spelling. Because it would be funny if he was summoning, because he constantly is summoning Gamera in this film. But I looked it up. His spelling is actually manly hero.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What his name means.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. Especially, you know, is he the hero of this movie or is it Tom? I'm not really sure.
I don't know, but you know, I got to say, if they left the little girl behind, they got in the spaceship and she's like, I'm not going in there. They left her behind.
Her adventure is very interesting.
Very, yeah. She runs home and finds her mom and says, Mom, they got into a spaceship. They're gone. And the mom's just like, oh, okay. Yeah,
you got to stop lying.
Yeah. Like,
you have to stop lying. The way that the dubber. Oh my God. Well, the coolest, the thing that we forgot to talk about was there is a friendly neighborhood cop.
Yeah.
That they're friends of. That is just a goof character. I don't really know. But he's a goofy character. He gets wrapped up in it, in this whole plot line, I guess. But she, literally, the mother's just like, no one believes you, shut up, go upstairs.
But Akio and Tom went in a spaceship.
Oh my God.
You believe me, don't you?
Yes, I believe you. You're a good girl. You wouldn't lie. I'm sure you wouldn't lie. I'm sure that you're a good girl, okay? I'll find your brother, okay?
Thank you.
Don't worry.
I'm giving up.
Okay, I'll look at the observatory.
Thank you, Kwon-chan.
Tell me, are you taking a child's word? Ask the observatory.
But please...
What do you mean, idiot? I'm surprised you believe such stories. I'm sure the kids must be playing around this area. Why don't you send a patrol out and find
them? Of course I will. But first you...
Are you sure?
Yes.
You know that yourself. That pretending to believe them is bad from an educational standpoint.
But can't you understand how serious Tomoko is about all this?
Forget it.
Right. And then she does go upstairs and she just mopes. And we find, because we were questioning this the whole movie, we're like, where is Tom's mother? Like, who is the mother? Why is Tom, is he a part of this family? What's happening here? And then we do see an American woman show up to pick up Tom.
Yeah. And so the little girl's like, oh, they flew away in a spaceship.
Well, she doesn't even say that. No, it's even better than that. The mother says, oh, they're hiding. I think Tom just wants to stay here longer. And so he was trying to make sure you don't pick him up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so the mother's like, oh, that's fine. And she literally takes off.
She says, I'm just going to leave my kid with you. Okay, bye. Thanks.
Yeah. She's like, can you come in for some tea? And the woman's like, no, I'm out. I don't have any time.
She's going home to drink some hard tequila.
Well, what's magic is the kid is upstairs watching all this. And then all of a sudden, when she starts driving away, she's in the back seat.
Okay. Now, that was magical. And she tells the woman... no, your kid is on a spaceship with my brother.
Yeah.
And she takes her to the site where the spaceship was.
She actually goes and picks up the cop. Now, my favorite about this, she stops the car only like inches away from the house and doesn't go and get the mother, the other mother.
Right.
She just takes this child with her.
I know.
And then she goes and picks up the local cop.
There's so much kidnapping in this movie.
There is, and it's so weird. And this Tom's mother character... she does not give a damn about children.
Like, no,
she,
not at all.
She was really happy about getting rid of Tom.
Oh, she could not get in her car fast enough.
She gets a cop, and there's an entire sequence where she's explaining, like, they were in a spaceship, and it took off and left. And I'm never going to see my brother again. And there's, like, aliens. And they're all like, I think the Tom's mother's just like, yeah, nah. I'm sick of this. You got to stop lying. And the cop's like, you know what? I kind of believe you. And then when the kid walks away, he's like, oh, someone finally believes me. The mother looks at him and goes, are you fucking serious?
Like, you're really going to do that?
No. But virtually, she's like, are you, come on. Seriously, cop?
Well, she takes him to the like, site where they get, you know, what the spaceship is.
Yeah. Well, it's just a crater. It was already there, apparently, because there's stairs, like you said. But... the cop is, like, generally a nice guy. He's like, she's really worried. She believes it.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's an issue. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to investigate this. I'm not going to let it go.
Tell us the right story.
But I'm not lying. And I saw it with my own eyes.
Tomoko, don't you know what the Apollo spaceship man said? That Earth is the only oasis in space. There are no living things elsewhere, and no spacemen either.
But Akio and Tom went in a spaceship.
Oh, my God.
You believe me, don't you?
Yes, I believe you. You're a good girl. You wouldn't lie. I'm sure you wouldn't lie. I'm sure that you're a good girl, okay? I'll find your brother. Okay.
Thank you.
Which is cool. All right. But cut back to the planet now. And then the real adventure started.
Oh my God. Because, we meet the two. Are they sisters?
Well, no. Even something better even happens.
Oh, we first meet Giron.
Yeah. Giron. Okay.
He comes out of the Earth.
I guess the creatures on this planet, they have some kind of function where they can control everything on the planet so the water runs backwards, and when it does, it opens a trap door and this creature comes out, because there is another kaiju flying around. Now he looks like I'm trying to figure out a way to explain this character.
He looks like a robot pterodactyl.
Yeah. I was gonna say like a bat fish painted silver.
He does.
He's like a flat head. I don't know. It's really cheap looking.
Yeah.
And this is a really fun fact about this character. They had a whole another kaiju, but they didn't have any money. So they just took another suit from another movie.
And oh, they really?
Just painted it silver.
Oh, dang.
And they actually call it by name. I don't know if you noticed this, but the two kids recognize this monster. And they go, hey, it's that monster. And, oh, Gamera killed it. Well, this must be another one. This must be a planet of them.
What?
He's silver.
How do they know?
Because in another movie, Gamera fought this thing.
I don't remember.
We actually see it in the flashback sequence where we find out all of the facts about Gamera being
I needed that flashback. I needed that flashback because I honestly don't remember seeing this monster.
Yeah, he shot like a laser beam and it like cut his leg and it kept showing him bleeding. Gamera over
that was
and over.
Really cool.
So what
he was
we
hopping along.
Yeah. Oh, that's something else you're talking about. No, Gamera got shot in the arm and the
oh,
leg.
Gamera
and he was
did.
Bleeding
oh, okay.
In the flashbacks. No, here, this is amazing. So this creature is just flying around wrecking havoc, and they summon Giron to come out of the floor. He comes out, and we see him for the first time. All his glory. He is a giant butcher knife kaiju.
He looks like a shark. He looks like a shark, but he's a knife. Like, he's got, like, a knife head.
But he also looks like he would talk like this. That's how he looks.
Well, it's his because eyes the are, like, googly
crossed.
Eyes. Yeah,
his eyes are crossed. And he just is, like, walking on all fours.
Oh, my God. This suit is so badass. I love it.
It's badass.
I love it. Oh, it's so terrible. It's so terrible on so many levels. And, like, you can see in some scenes where the back of it's, like, opening, you can see the guy's legs. There's a shot
where the guy's coming out of it.
And you can see the actor's legs under there. But you know what? This suit is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, this...
I love it.
This sequence is... It's just incredible. And this is where you... Basically, the whole movie, our mouths were open laughing.
Oh, my God. I was loving it.
But this sequence in particular, you said, this is what I've been waiting for all month.
Yeah, because I wanted these kaiju fights. I mean, I needed these fights. These set pieces are with the little miniatures and, like, just them throwing each other around. Giron starts beating the hell out of this, like, pterodactyl monster.
But exactly how does he do it?
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Okay, so he has, like, a piece of his head that opens up, right?
No. Like, he doesn't use that in this at all.
What is he blasting his leg off with then?
What he does is he jumps up in the air. It looks like a ragdoll's been thrown, and it comes down and it cuts. Well, first, I think he shoots at the leg of the creature.
Yeah, I thought he was using the throwing stars.
No, he doesn't use that until later. That doesn't even happen. That's a reveal later on. That's just incredible.
Really?
Yeah, in this, he just keeps flopping up in the air like they threw a fish with a knife in his head. They just threw it up in the air, and they hit the bat thing. And so it crashes because he has cut his leg off. And so we watch this guy, this funny-ass bat on a string, like, jumping
hopping
up and down.
Around. Oh, yeah. My God.
I don't even
so
think
good.
The actor's in the suit for that. I think it's just, like, it's bouncing.
I think that they just put him on strings, like, just the suit on strings.
I think
just
so,
like,
too.
You know, moving it up and down.
Yeah.
Because there's the silliness of this. It's just next level.
Yeah. He tried that. The bat, this creature, I have its
he's
name right
here.
He's not
a bat. He's a...
Well, it's a wing creature.
He's
has no
like
arms.
A pterodactyl.
Yeah. You're being kind. He jumps, flies up in the air with his one leg. And then again, this creature, Giron, he just shoots up in the air and cuts him perfectly in half.
Oh my God. So I was like super shocked because yeah. I was like, wow, you know, this movie starts out kind of like an after school special, like, you know, yes. on PBS. And then there's carnage.
Yeah. And not only does it doesn't stop, which is one of my favorite parts about this. He starts laying him out like a butcher, and he just starts cutting away at him, making
it's
like
so great,
like
making
pieces.
Sushi.
Yeah, sushi rolls. But my favorite bit of this is we actually see his head fall off.
Oh
and everything.
My God! I was like, wow, he is totally sushifying him.
Yeah, because you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, there's violence. The kaiju is killing the kaiju.
I thought it was gonna be like silly violence,
but then
you know.
Well, it is because they want you to remember, oh, by the way, this is a kid's film. So let's have Giron, as he's cutting the creature and holding one of his body parts, he goes, oof, and it makes a smell like hand gesture. And so the kids cut back and they go, oh, he's so smelly, he can't even eat it.
And that would have been too much carnage if he started eating the monster.
Yeah. Well, I was like, whoever lives on this planet, they have enough food to last them a lifetime.
I mean, he cut the shit. I mean, it was pretty violent for this kind of movie. I mean, this movie was definitely made for kids. This is not like your run-of-the-mill, you know, I'm gonna, you know, fuck your house up kind of kaiju Godzilla movie. This is like... It's goofy. It's just super goofy. And this is made for kids' entertainment.
Yes.
So I was, like, really shocked when they, like, sushified that kaiju.
Yeah,
like,
his
I
was name like, was Gaios.
Gaios.
And apparently Gaios is a kaiju creature race, which we didn't know. Because on this planet, apparently, they just keep showing up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them. So I think what's happening is they attack this base that's happening here. And so they keep using Giron to come out and kill them.
Yeah. Well, the kids... okay. So at this point, they're
seeing... They beam around. They keep touching buttons and they keep finding things.
I have never seen two kids... Now, you're on a planet. You see these monsters. These kids are not even moved, okay? Like, not even scared. They don't even try to hide.
And when I say that this is a kid's having a fun adventure, that's all. They're like, wee, let's touch another button. See what happens.
They're just touching all the buttons. You know, I was like, okay, guys, like, come on. Like, it was just a kid's adventure. It was like, it wasn't like at all like, you know, Godzilla or anything like that. Nothing like that.
Although that's there too in those movies, but for some reason they feel more like a movie. This one feels like, my favorite thing that you said during this movie was, this feels like a Sesame Street skit.
It does.
And I think you're dead on with that. It does feel like a part of us, like a segment in every Sesame Street.
It does.
Like, we keep cutting back to the adventures of Tom and Akio.
And I mean, we finally meet the two inhabitants of this planet. Now, mind you, this is a planet, a whole planet where there's supposed to be a civilization. We only meet only two girls. By the way, they're cute as hell in their crazy little like aluminum foil outfits that they're wearing.
Their hats actually match the top of their ships.
It's hysterical. Yeah. They're super cute. They also look like Vulcans from Star Trek.
They're cute.
But they're supposed to be the villains. Yes. They actually torture these kids.
Well, yeah, that's getting into it, because they play like they're friends. They're actually, their names are Barbella and Florabella.
Yes.
They tell them, they actually have these devices where they can speak the same language, because at first they talk like,
it's like a universal translator.
Yeah. And they put this stuff on so they could talk to the kids, and they tell the kids this entire story of where they are, where the planet is. And I had to write some of this down because I had to go, I just wrote WTF all over the place on this one, because they say they're on a planet called Terra.
Yeah.
I believe they say that they are on the other side of the sun and are never visible to the Earth because they are in counter rotation. So they've never become visible to the Earth. And that's why no one knows that this planet exists.
Okay.
Because the Earth is rotating in a different rotation around the sun than this planet. And my favorite part of this, and this is where I wrote WTF, I said, this kid goes, oh, so you're like a twin star. And what? I went, he just said it's a planet. What the hell are you talking about, kid? And this kid goes through the whole list of naming every planet. He knows everything. And then he says twin stars. I was like, wait a minute. Why? Why did you think a star?
I don't know.
I didn't understand it at all. But these women, they tell them that they basically, you know that they're bad because they keep making faces when they say, where is everybody else? And they don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But they also say that the planet is becoming extremely cold and that they're constantly being attacked by that kaiju.
Yeah.
And they're using that other kaiju to fight them. So it's kind of like fishy. And then when these kids say, well, you know, a Gamera might be looking for us. That's my favorite, is Gamera might be looking for us. Gamera's got, there's a lot of children on the Earth.
You know what's funny is, though, like, to me, that Gamera helped them land, well, sort of safely, right? I mean, a little bit of turbulence there. They got knocked out. But Gamera helped them, so he knows exactly where they are. Why wouldn't he stay and watch out for them?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he got distracted at one point and just flew off.
What the hell? Obviously, there's two children on, like, some crazy unknown planet.
We don't know if another kid was in trouble and he had to fly off and help that other kid.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it could have been. I mean, how many kids a day are in peril?
Does Gamera have, like, Superman hearing where he can hear, like, everybody at once?
Yeah,
come on.
Sometimes his eyes open real wide and he makes his little roar in space and flies off. And I think they even mention it, like, Gamera's flying off. And so this kid mentions in front of these two women, Gamera might be looking for us soon. And they're like, who the hell is this Gamera character? Who is this person I'm competing with?
It's so, like, crazy.
Who are we competing with? So they put them in this room, and then we start learning that they have superpowers. They have some kind of technology where they can freeze people in their spot and then take over their minds. Now, this is where I don't understand this plot line. All right. So I'm confused here. They freeze the kids and they can control their minds to try to get them to tell information about what's going on in the world, because they want to know who Gamera is, and they want to know all that kind of stuff. But the second subplot of this is that they actually eat kids' brains.
Okay.
Or so people's brains.
They say that they are eating their brains, which means that they're just gathering knowledge.
But that doesn't make sense, then they have the technology to make them stand still and tell everything. Because they actually read their minds with this technology to find out that their favorite food is the donuts made by the certain person. And right. They actually replicate exact donuts that they're thinking about.
Right. And they put sleeping pills in them. So. Yes.
So I'm like, that's when they were like, oh, we're going to eat them now.
Okay.
So I don't think it's like absorbing knowledge, because the knowledge is just coming to them. I think they literally use brains as their nourishment.
That's crazy.
Yes.
This movie took a weird turn there, because they do try to...
They shave his kid's head and are about to carve his skull open.
Yeah, while he's passed out, because there was a sleeping agent in the donut that they fed him. And they took Akio and put him in some kind of like Dalek. It looked like a Dalek with just his head popping out. And they were going to cut him.
I was thinking about Temple of Doom with the monkey brain.
Oh my God.
That's what it was like to me.
Oh my God. They were just going to kill this kid. It was crazy. I was like, wow, this took a dark turn.
And by the way, they really shave his head.
They do shave his head.
They legit shave this kid's
head. Yeah. I was like, wow, I wonder if he got paid extra for this.
I know. I was thinking that too. And Tom just gets the lathe there.
Yeah. He's just so passed out. But he wakes up and he finds that his friend is like stuck in like this machine, which looks like a Dalek. And he's, his hair's gone. So he tries to get him out. And the two girls run in. And I don't know if it's Akio, when he wakes up, calls out for Gamera to help.
Well, the thing is, Tom punches him in the head.
Yeah, Tom punches him in the head to wake him up. He literally punches him in the head.
And then he does wake up, and they do call for Gamera. So Gamera does show up. He's like, oh, shit.
He comes back. Giron is there waiting, right?
Well, so the two
he
women go,
him up.
What I love is the two women are watching on the screen. They go, I laughed to you. I said during the movie, I'm like, a giant turtle with rocket boots shows up on your planet, and you don't say, holy shit, there's a giant turtle. They go, this must be Gamera.
Yeah. Well, okay. First of all, the whole world supposedly knows
kids
about
a giant turtle pet.
Yeah. Now, mind you, again, this turtle has rockets coming out of his leg holes.
And he stands up on his toes, and he always screams and shows does sign language. That's a thing this character can do. And they are pretty cool with it. And they're like, we gotta kill him. So release Giron.
Yep.
Or
Giron.
Giron. I keep saying Giron.
Giron. Yeah, but this
Giron.
This fight is very not epic to me.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. It's incredible. Every single thing that happens during this fight scenes, the two fights in this movie are batshit hilarious.
I mean, this is the scene where he part of his head moves is Giron, right? And he has throwing stars in his skull.
Well, because it's actually in the tip of his nose or something. He hilariously gets thrown into a mountain and he's stuck in it. But he can control shurikens, like Chinese, like, you know, like throwing stars, to come out of his nose and shoot magnetically into Gamera. Now, the best thing about this is every time one of these things hit Gamera, he one of them flies into his cheeks, right? And then Gamera is legit, like, upset. He literally turns away from the camera, like, don't look at me.
I'm hideous.
And he gathers up ice from the planet, snow, and puts a cold pack on his wounds.
That's true. That was
you'll never actually see Kaiju do anything like this,
ever. Yeah,
that
was pretty cute. Yeah.
And he's just mad. And during this fight, for some odd reason, I don't know if this is where Gamera joins the Olympics.
That's right. I forgot about
how?
This.
How did you forget
stupid.
About this? At one point in this, they're throwing each other, and Giron, he like chucks Gamera, and Gamera flies over, and this base happens to have a pole vault, right?
It's like an uneven parallel bar.
Parallel bar. And he starts swinging on it.
Like a gymnast, like around and around and around. So he's going to do like the, like a triple Lindy or something and like land and stick the landing. Which and he literally does.
He sticks the landings and he actually puts his hands out.
He
like,
puts his arms up like 10 out of 10. 10 bitches. Out of 10,
yes.
I was like, okay, this is too
it's
much.
It's incredible.
It's too much. During this, like, oh, so silly.
During this fight, though, because I think he's so badly upset that he's been, like, thrown so many, you know, like, stars are in his body, he just plops into the ocean.
Yeah.
And we didn't understand what happened here. He just fell.
I have a theory about this. All right. So when he plopped into the ocean, you know, he's a turtle. After all, okay?
He needed some alone time.
He needed the healing waters.
I was thinking this too, but he sinks onto his back and he, I'm going to say he straight up dies.
I feel like, no.
Okay. His eyes turn black and he just is on a shell on the bottom. That means turtles, when they do that, they die. They're stuck on their backs. So he falls to the bottom of the ocean, which in the ocean at the water, he should be able to do anything he wants. He just plops down there, closes his eyes, and just checks out. And then the two women go, oh, Gamera's dead. And I was like, what happened? I actually had to research this. I went to Wikipedia and looked up the plot, and it actually said Gamera plops to the down to the ocean. And I was like, but how? How did he plop into the ocean? Why did he plop into the ocean? It said he, after being wounded with stars in his cheek, he decides to plop into the ocean.
I seriously think that he was just healing. He was maybe in some kind of like hypnotic, like power saving mode or something like that.
I mean, I guess he could be, but he literally does not come back to help until they like, there's an entire sequence of the kids calling out for him and him going, eh. I can't. And it's like an alarm clock. He actually keeps shutting back he keeps putting snooze on.
I know, it's so funny.
And finally a boulder hits him in the head and he goes, oh, crap, I got to get up to work.
Yeah, because the kids are in danger.
Yeah, and but he's...
He helps them. He has to. Yeah. He's Gamera.
Yes. There's so much going on. It turns out that the kid brought his trusty dart gun. His little suction cup dart gun.
Oh, gosh.
And he can shoot it through a perfect little hole in their cage that they're in. And he can completely press buttons on the control panel. And then this is my favorite thing now. The two women are pretty much like they're going to leave. They're going to get in the spaceship. They're like, you know what? This is done. Let's go to Earth and eat them. Like, let's eat people.
Yeah.
And so they're like going to do that. While they're shooting these darts in the thing, they actually suction cup two buttons. It turns out that one of the buttons releases Giron from the floor again because he went back in after Gamera plopped to the ocean. So he comes back out. And then the second button they touch, I guess, is releases the control of him that apparently they had him under control. And so he's completely loose. So now this is when Giron decides to screw everything up in the whole place. The two women go into the spaceship to take off. And Giron just goes, jumps up in the air and cuts it in half perfectly. And they crash. And these two women are like all over the floor. And I love this moment so much. It's so much about this is great. The one woman has a chair on her legs and she's like, oh my God, I'm crippled. I can't move, you know, virtually. I can't, my legs are crushed. It's way tamer than that. It's just like, I'm hurt, help me. And the other girl goes, nah, she pulls out a gun and she aims at her. The other girl's like, what the hell are you gonna do? And she says, in our planet, useless people are killed.
This one, look.
It's a moving car.
I see. Let's get on it. Okay.
And she just
was so shocked by this because we went from like a zany, like silly, almost like
some of it gets dark.
It's a high-spirited kids movie.
Yeah.
To death. Like literal death. I mean, this girl shot her. I was like, holy shit. But then
she killed the only person that she had.
The only person, and then she gets fucked up too, and you know, Giron? Giron decides he's just gonna start fucking everything up. He's just gonna start blasting everything, and you know, destroying everything, and the kids are stuck in there.
Yeah, and I love this because the ceiling collapses, and literally a boulder hits one of the kids in the head, and it's fine, because I know it's styrofoam, but why even let it hit him in the head? Because it looks like a boulder kills him.
Right, it does. I mean, it's pretty harsh for these kids.
These kids have been knocked out, and their heads have had so much trauma, and one of them almost lost his brains. They're gone through so much stuff, and they're just fine. Every time they see something, it's always like, oh. They're never scared. They're never concerned. All of it is like, oh, no.
They're literally we can do never this. Concerned. Never. And
I wish I had the level of
nonchalantness.
Yes, or everything's going to work out. I wish I had an ounce of what these kids have.
The level of complete fuckery that these kids go through. It's like, and they're not even bothered. They see monsters. They get into a spaceship. I mean,
I won't point this out. At one point, I was laughing because the only times that these kids do freak out, it's over nothing. Like, there's a moment where the kid stands on, I guess the floor has a moving, like, escalator type thing. He stands on a little platform and it starts moving. And instead of just jumping off of it, he looks at the other kid and goes, help!
Governor, Gurion's weak part is the hole!
Get that hole!
Gamera does it.
He chucks it perfectly in the hole. Yes. So it goes through his head.
And it blows him up. You think it's going to blow his head off, but his arms just fly off.
Yeah. Yeah. Still a little brutal for a kid's movie.
And we see Giron die. And Giro's dead. And the other woman's dead. And so that's what you were saying. Gamera picks up the ship.
He repairs it.
And perfectly blowtorch. By the way, Gamera can shoot fire out of his mouth. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, he can shoot fire out of all of his orifices, apparently.
Even his palms.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that works.
I mean, that's pretty cool. But he repairs this by, like, you know, his fire breath.
Yes, he sticks the two pieces together and melds melts the metal.
Which is amazing control, because he could have just incinerated the whole thing.
Yeah, what I love is, like, it's not even all flame. It's blue flame.
Yeah,
it's blue. Perfect. He's got bad breath, and he's just, like, perfectly doing it. I was going to think, how are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, not using, like, how, when they, we should watch them watch him on television.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is my favorite character.
For real. Yeah. For real. Because he's pretty
every
badass.
Every turtle on Earth should look up to him. He should be their idol.
He's awesome. He is so, I love the suit that
it's like who you inspire to be.
It's so great.
Oh, it's, by the way, it looks like a flat pancake on the front. So when he stands up, the actor inside is squished into this thing.
I feel like I feel really bad for this actor because I always look at these suits very carefully and I'm trying to figure out where is his like eye hole view, because the top of the head on this suit seems way like up there. It's very long because it's like a turtle head, you know? So like,
I'm thinking it's inside the mouth.
You think so? Because he opens his mouth a lot, really big. I mean, you would be able to see something.
I mean, maybe there's makeup under there. I don't know.
I want to go ahead and say that he's at least in the neck, which means things are worse for him. Because if his head is in that neck of that suit, he's literally squished. I don't know how he breathes in there.
Yeah, it looks...
It's crazy.
I think about this all the time. I've seen like behind the scenes of like Godzilla and stuff and the actor getting out of that. And it's just insane.
I can imagine. Like, you literally have to pour the sweat out of it.
They do. There's footage of them pouring the boots out. Same thing with Evil Dead, them pouring the plastic mold and all the sweat coming out.
Ugh.
I'm like, I don't know how you do it. But
I mean, the kids get saved because Gamera fixes the ship and he puts the ship in his mouth and transports them back to Earth in the exact same spot they left from.
Before they get home, all of the reporters and people that we saw in the beginning, the scientists and reporters from the opening of this movie, show up at that kid's house.
Yeah.
And the two mothers are kind of concerned. They're like, she won't give up on the space thing. And everybody believes it but us. This is ridiculous. And that's when all of them show up and they say, oh, it's true. No, it's true. It's true. There's space. Come on, kid. Come with us.
There are space. There's kaiju everywhere, apparently.
And they go, oh, there was radio waves that we got. And we know that and we also, on a telescope, we saw a spaceship landed last night. We didn't come. We just let some kids get in.
Yeah.
Well, we let them have a night of sleep so they can get up in the morning, get inside of it.
Yeah, there's no sense of urgency. Yeah,
no one cares.
You know,
like, we know it's there, but yeah, let's wait.
Let's just leave it.
And we didn't even talk about how the spaceship landed on Earth without anybody driving it, so they remote controlled it from their planet to pick up people. Yes, that's
what they said. They remote controlled it to like assess the, I guess, to assess the atmosphere. And
is that what they were
doing? Yeah, because they wanted to see if it was inhabitable so they can, you know, find the inhabitants of Earth and brain suck them. That's what their whole plot was.
Wouldn't they just come to Earth and find out for themselves?
Well, I guess they...
If their planet sucks that bad, just leave.
They sent a scout ship, but...
That's odd.
That's what happened. So they land safely, and little girl's like, "Ee, my brother's back!" And the parents are there, and the reporters, and I have a quote here.
And the goofy cop, everybody loves the goofy cop. He was the only one who believed anybody.
I would like to say this quote, because this is the end of the movie, and the little boy, Akio... He states, "We belong to the Earth, and forget about the other planets, and forget about war and traffic accidents for the sake of the human beings." The end.
I don't think that's not how he says it.
Yes, he does. I copied it.
I swear he says.
I copied it word for word. "We belong to the Earth, and forget about the other planets, and forget about war and traffic accidents for the sake of the human beings."
Dr. Shiga, we discovered a planet and saw space people too.
We thought that there were civilized, peaceful planets, more than the Earth where we are living now. But as a result, I like Earth best. Dr. Shiga, we belong to the Earth, and we should forget about the other planets. Let's make the Earth a free place to live, without war and traffic accidents, for the sake of the human beings, and learn by it.
Oh. That was a very good experience.
Yes, sir.
And then the kid goes, "Get off of it."
Wait, the people mover?
The
little people mover is what you're afraid of?
Yes.
You have flown through outer space and
exactly.
Attacked by a kaiju.
You're friends with a giant monster turtle. and he the other kid just says, "Get off of it." And he goes, "Okay." And he stands off of it.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, this is what you're freaking out over. I wish I had, and I just listen a little bit of this. These kids not giving a shit.
It's amazing
because they don't care. I mean, this kid's wearing ball hammock shorts for God's sakes.
It's terrible.
And he doesn't. No one cares. If someone made you donuts that look exactly like the donuts that you think about,
yeah,
you're not gonna think about it. You're just gonna go, "Damn, these are good."
I'm
what are these pills
you,
in here?
The
I like these pills.
Level of nonchalantness. Is that a word? Nonchalantness.
I'm going with it.
Of these kids, like, I'm sorry. If I saw any of this, I probably would faint first. Okay?
Yes.
I ask a couple of questions, maybe.
There's a giant butcher knife creature outside.
Yeah.
It keeps ramming at them, and they just keep going, "Touch that button. Check that out. What does that do?"
They're completely not bothered.
Yes.
They're completely fine with all of this. And
that's where... Gamera comes
back. Gamera comes back, you know, to save the day. He wakes up because he hears the kids need him, and he repairs that spaceship that's in half.
Well, first off, what's amazing here is he has to beat Giron. So he does that by grabbing Giron, actually dives into the ocean to go kill him because he knows that he's under there getting woken up. He's like, "Oh, he's groggy." And he hasn't had his coffee yet. And Giron's like, "That's the perfect moment to go kill this bastard."
Yeah.
So he flies into the ocean like a lawn dart and goes and hits him right in the back. Well, this is the funniest thing. We didn't even talk about this, that when Gamera wakes up, he's doing the whole Rambo sequence where he's pulling out the wounds and trying to heal himself under the water. And he's like, "Ah!" And it's basically like all of us waking up in the morning, having to get into the bathroom, look in the mirror, start getting ready for work or whatnot. That's what Gamera's doing. And that's when Giron's like right in the back. So he keeps hitting him, but then Gamera just says, "I'm done with this shit." So he grabs Giron and flies up into the air. And he flies him. We thought he was going to throw him into space.
Instead,
he does a Yui, and he just chucks him straight down, and Giron is stuck. His entire knife goes into the plant. So he's just like, "Oh, shit." He's just stuck there. He can't do anything. And that's where... when the kids are touching buttons, they open up a missile launcher, and they go, "Oh, there's the missile." And they go, "Hey," they actually tell, they give hints to Gamera. "Hey, Gamera, you know, check this out." And they send him a rocket, but they also send a rocket at Giron so it can bounce off and perfectly hit the other girl before she can escape, and she dies.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
But then Gamera, this is the most amazing thing. Gamera is holding a rocket out of nowhere.
Where did he get that rocket?
I have no idea how he got one. And they go, "Hey, Gamera, by the way, Giron's got a hole in his face where he shoots those stars out. Why don't you just stick the missile in there?" Okay.
That is what he says.
I don't think he says forget about it. I thought he said we need to do better.
Yeah, for the sake of human beings, like, we need to, I guess, come together. I don't know what he's trying to say, but it translates pretty silly.
I have to look this up.
Go ahead and look it up.
No, I have it. I have it. This is exactly what he says. Because it's funnier this way. He goes, "They may be very civilized up there, more than we are here on Earth, with no wars or traffic accidents."
"We thought that there were civilized, peaceful planets, more than the Earth where we are living now. But as a result, I like Earth best."
Mm-hmm.
"Dr. Shiga, we belong to the Earth, and we should forget about the other planets. Let's make the Earth a free place to live, without war and traffic accidents, for the sake of the human beings, and learn by it."
Oh, that was a very good experience.
"Yes, sir."
Oh. Didn't you say they forget about traffic accidents or wars?
"Let's make the Earth a free place to live, without war and traffic accidents, for the sake of the human beings, and learn by it."
Oh.
No, they're basically saying, you know, here on Earth, it's terrible. War and traffic accidents.
Well, maybe I was just hearing the silliness was just taking over my brain and I kind of translated it wrong.
Because you were baffled because it's like a weird moment. Wait, what? It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
And by the way, I found out trivia about this line of dialogue. It turns out in Japan, the traffic accidents are awful. And children especially get killed,
mm-hmm,
walking to school and stuff. It's so bad that they had to put them in. So when you see movies with kids, like these, especially these Toho movies, this is not Toho, but movies like this in these vein of movies, you see them in these yellow coats and stuff and yellow hats and all these stuff. They're forced to wear these things to reflect because there's so many bad traffic accident murders.
Jesus,
I mean that's insane. But having this little kid say that, no more traffic accidents.
That's crazy. But maybe the parents should keep track of their kids. Maybe, you know, watch them a little better.
Well, as we learn from the parents in this movie, they don't give a shit. Not a parent, not a father to be found.
No, nobody cares. Nobody cares. The lady was about to leave her son overnight and probably for the rest of the week at this other kid's house.
Hey, she was fine with it, yeah, too. And she kidnapped the little girl, so it was all good. I know. Guess.
Well, she inadvertently kidnapped her.
Yeah.
But she still kidnapped her.
No traffic accidents. Well, I mean, if we could all feel like Akio, we would all be a little better here on Earth.
Akio's straight up insane.
They play the Gamera song so many times, too, and it's just so fucking fun.
This is the kaiju movie that I would say, I mean, it's pretty silly, and the plot is just even sillier. But I will say that this is probably the worst voiceover one that I've seen, that I can remember. The worst voiceover. I mean, and we usually love the overdubbing because the voices are so good. But
it makes it better, though. Sorry. I know we watched the dub and everything, but I do enjoy the dubs because it makes it sillier.
It does make it sillier.
And it helps it make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, like they pick voiceover actors that could not possibly have voices that are coming out of that actor's mouth.
Yeah. People who they don't care. It must be friends and family that they got, "Hey, come over and we'll give you a free Subway."
You right.
Know? And it's like, "Oh, okay, a free sub. I'll come over and dub this thing real quick."
Yeah.
What is this about? A turtle man? What is this about? What is this movie about? All right. Sure, I'll say Gamera. Come on, Gamera, help me. Help me.
I mean, I just love Gamera, though. He's cute. You sent me something that I'm going to read, but do you want to do reviews first?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we usually ask on this on the show, is this the worst movie ever made?
No, but it's goofy as hell.
It's goofy. It's crappy. It's cheap. It's on a low budget. It was made to do what it's supposed to do, get kids smiling and having a good time.
Yeah.
And it does that. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad, but God, do I love it. Like, I'm not going to lie. It is so much silliness and fun about it.
Just listening to us talk about it, like, it doesn't do it justice. Like, you have to see it. It's just the googly eye, you know, monsters and the suits and stuff.
When I close my eyes and someone says the word Gamera, I'm going to see him from this movie doing a lot of silly things.
Spinning around in space. You know, he's got fire coming out of his leg holes.
Yes. Just his eyeball, like, staring as he's holding the ship in his mouth.
Yeah.
I love when we didn't even talk about how the two kids got into his hand. And he put them into the ship.
I know, it's really cute.
It's just so much fun. Thanks, Gamera.
Yeah, they're not scared at all. They're not. I mean, they went through a couple of things, you know, a little bit of turmoil there, and they're fine. They're not even scarred, not even traumatized. They're good.
Gamera. Okay, so what would you give this out of 10?
4.
I have to agree with you. It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, so bad, it's good. It is. It's definitely elevated. So bad, it's good.
It's definitely, like, if you take the production value, if you take the plot, if you take everything in, it's bad.
Yeah.
And so it's like a 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But it's elevated because it is so much cheesy fun.
100%.
That it's so bad, it's good. It makes us smile. It is.
I mean, I was smiling. I can help it, you know?
It's definitely something you need to watch with friends.
Yeah.
And which brings us into your segment. Because the first reviewer you're going to read is going to say what I perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, so this is a segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out 2 extremes of online reviews, a 1 10-star and a 1 1-star review, as proof that people can't review movies and they ruin it for the rest of us. This article reads, and paraphrasing from an article by Scott Ashland from 1,000 Misspent Hours. That's the name of the article. Almost certainly one of the 3 or 4 strangest movies I've ever seen. Gamera vs. Giron is one of those rare films whose character changes completely depending on the number of people watching it. A lone viewer is sure to find this movie nearly unwatchable, but put 4 or 5 people together and it's an instant party. I think it should be fairly obvious why this film would be almost unwatchable for a lone viewer. But exactly what is it that makes it such a terrific party movie? Simple. The dubbing. I have seen and heard dubbing the likes of which most people have never even imagined. But I swear to you, it never even occurred to me that anyone would ever try to get away with dubbing this bad. It's as if the voiceover team were actually reading their scripts aloud for the first time while the tapes rolled. And the fact that whoever was in charge of the planning and scanning seems to have been watching something other than the movie while he did his work, and that adds yet another layer of hitherto unimagined ineptitude. It isn't often that I can honestly say that a movie actually breaks new ground in incompetence, but that really is the best way to describe Gamera vs. Giron.
This guy nailed it.
Nailed it.
When I looked at the critical reviews, I saw this critic came up and I laughed so hard because he nails exactly what is good and bad about this film in one thing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I really like that review. It's a good one. My next one is a 10 out of 10. Classic. Classic. Okay. I saw this flick decades ago as a kid. And it's one that stuck in my memory, though as an adult, I couldn't figure out what the title was, remembering it as the monster movie with the Exacto Blade bad guy. Every time I see powdered donuts, I think of this flick. The dubbing, of course, is simply atrocious, but the alien babes are foxes of the highest order. 10 out of 10. Jesus Christ.
I love people so much. I can't even tell you, Joe. I love people.
You know, come on now. But
I love people.
I definitely think this is a four. I mean, it was fun and ridiculous, and my mouth was open for most of it because I was like, what is this ridiculousness?
I will tell you this. We don't have children. If we did, I would show these kinds of movies to my kids because this would be the silly stuff that they should grow up with because it's just so wacky fun.
For sure.
I can only imagine a five-year-old watching this movie. I bet he would love this movie.
I know. I kind of want to show Brody.
just how like insane it is.
He loves dinosaurs. He's going to be 5 years old, our nephew. And I think that he would definitely love this. This is just something that he would love, I think.
I kind of would love to rewatch that. Because I know I had that when I was a kid. When I watched Godzilla movies, when I saw them, I just could not get enough. And I would say that it was even, you know, 15 or, you know, under 15, you know, not that young and still just being like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get, I'm just shocked by it, like how much fun it is. And so rewatch, like seeing this through a kid's eyes, it must be something.
I know. I couldn't imagine. I mean, even me, I'm still baffled and amazed by some of the things that they do in these kaiju movies, you know, like, I mean, the set pieces and the fact that these actors are in those suits and they just can't even move in there. And it's just the miniatures and how much work they put into destroying something.
I will say this too. I have to say this. Just imagine the guy who's taking a toy turtle and making rockets come out of its ass and put it on a string and fly around a fake space set. That guy has to be like, this is the most surreal moment of my life.
Yeah.
Just, I can't even imagine how weird that would be.
I know, I said to you, I'm like, I would do anything to be on the set of one of these movies. I mean, I really would. Just because, you know, back in the 60s, when they did all these movies, I mean, they had to really, really reach into creative honestly. Part of their minds and come up with these techniques on how to make this look even remotely, I don't even want to say the word normal, but you know, film worthy.
And when you say that, you got to take it with a grain of salt because it looks like crap. This movie does look like crap.
It does, but
and,
you know.
I still can't get enough.
That's because we're adults now,
yeah.
You know, watching this. But if we were in the 60s, and we were seeing this as kids back then.
Yeah, I mean, even, I can't imagine.
We wouldn't, you know, it's like when we saw our movies, like The Goonies and all these things, like, we didn't think to pick it apart. We didn't think to do that, you know, because we just weren't in that mindset. It was an action-adventure movie, and there was, you know, crazy stuff happening, and it was just different.
I agree with you on that.
Like, we would never think about it. That makes sense. You know, now we're adults and we're like, okay, we can pick it apart and be like, oh, Jesus, what the hell is this?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a dumpster fire.
All right, so Kaiju Month is coming to an end and that's it. How do you feel the rank on these films would be so far? Oh, well, this month, okay. I mean, for the end. Well, what do you think you would rank these from best to worst?
Atragon's definitely on the lowest.
Really? Actually, yeah. That's the lowest.
I was very disappointed because it just wasn't what I expected it to be. This one, I think, we'll put higher up on the list.
Yeah, what's your number one? I know. I feel like I just asked you the most important question of your entire life. You're looking around the room like, oh my God, What is this? My mind is blown.
What
right
was
now.
The very first one we watched?
Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Okay, that's the okay.
And
I did not hate it.
War of the Gargantuas.
I mean, okay, War of the Gargantuas is I don't think I can handle that. No, but the Frankenstein, that one, that wasn't that bad. It was fun.
Do you feel like that's your number one? Or this?
No, this.
This is your number one.
I think this is my number one.
And then Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Yeah.
That's the order we're going to go in.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Because I know that people really, really love War of the Gargantuas, and that kind of shocks me.
Yeah. I didn't care much for that one. It was just too much. It was just too much. But I mean, they just started looking like, they just look like Sasquatch. Okay.
they are Sasquatches. Like
Sasquatch. I just couldn't get around it.
I think a lot of it comes down to some of those movies took themselves way too seriously. And I think that's a big problem. Like Atragon and War of the Gargantuas kind of took themselves way too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think we wanted the silliness of a kaiju film. Like, I like when it takes itself seriously, but it also, I like when it knows maybe we could back off a little bit.
Yeah. Like this one was, you know, just goofy. It was just goofy. So I really, this is the one I've been waiting for this whole entire time.
Well, it's a good way to end.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to give this a 4, and I think I'm putting it at number 1 on the kaiju list.
Of this month, not all time.
No. No, just this month.
Don't eat the microphone on that. You're like, no.
No.
All right, so next month we're moving on to another genre of films. This genre will be cartoons turned into live-action films.
All right.
So I can't wait to see what this turns unleash.
I'm here for it.
All right. As always, thanks again for listening, everybody. You know, hit us up on Instagram and tell us another kaiju film that you love, that you know is bad, but you love. I would love to hear about that. And tell us about why Gamera's the best. We want to hear that, too.
Gamera's pretty rad.
Why he's like the... maybe can you tell us when Gamera saved you as a child? He is the savior of all children, after
he
all.
He is, though.
And until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Come on, hurry. Let's cook those kids or else.
Wait. It's funny. There's something wrong. Gomer put the spaceship out of order.
That's the only ship we've got left. If it won't blast off, then what?
Anyway, let's eat the kids later, and let's fix the spacecraft first.